Welcome to Podcast Gurus, brought to you by GHA Marketing. Our guest today is Bill Caskey, a renowned sales coach, author, and speaker known for his expertise in sales training and development. With over 30 years of experience in the field, Bill has established himself as a leading authority on sales, strategy, communication, and business growth. Today, expect to learn the importance of keeping your content fresh and engaging to stand out in the crowded podcasting landscape, discover insights into real-world sales scenarios and coaching techniques, explore the importance of podcasting as a tool for improving communication skills, enabling hosts to simplify complex topics, and engaging with audiences. Before we begin, please remember to subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. And if you're there, please also leave us a review. 5 stars do amazing things for the podcast and help more people find Podcast Gurus. And we're all, of course, going to keep bringing you amazing different gurus in the podcast industry to explain to you all the different ways you can use your podcast to help and grow your business. And with that, here's Bill Caskey.
Bill, thank you so much for coming on the Podcast Gurus podcast. We're going to talk today about quite some interesting things, your podcast, actually your 2 podcasts, but also how podcasting was done back in the days where you didn't even have an RSS feed. So pretty much looking into forward to that conversation. So tell me, Bill, how about you walk us through the story of your podcast? How did it start to begin with?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on today. I'm looking forward to this. We had a quick pre-recorded call here last week, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. I had a radio show I live in Indiana, which is in the Midwest in the U.S., and we had a little radio station that we went to and proposed to do a one-hour show every Saturday from 11 till 12. And it was a 5,000-watt station, meaning it was small. Didn't get a lot of coverage. And so we did that for about a year, and we actually had some pretty decent guests on. I don't know why the guests would even come on that show, because it was a small and we were nobodies. But people were, about that time, they were starting to realize that being a guest on a show was good for them too, not just for the host. And one day a guy came along to me and he said, why don't you guys do podcasts? And of course, that was 2006. And I said, I have no idea what a podcast is, but it sounds complicated. And I'm not really into learning new technology. He said, it'll take me 15 minutes. I said, okay. So he came over, and I didn't have to pay him for it. It wasn't a consultant. He was just a friend, an acquaintance. And he showed me in 15 minutes how we could create a podcast that could go to millions of people instead of hundreds or tens of people. And I said, I'm in. And so we started in September of 06 with the Advanced Selling Podcast, my partner and I, Brian Neal. And we've been going for 18 years. We'll celebrate our 18th year this year.
Wow. Oh, talking about veteran, that's absolutely insane. So what's the first radio show about sales as well? Or what were you talking about this one?
Yeah, we were both sales coaches with the same company. He was in my firm. He has since left, but we still do the podcast together. But we're both sales coaches. We had corporate clients, and we were teaching people how to generate new leads, mainly in the business-to-business space. And so that was our expertise. It's what we did every day. And so we just got on the podcast and talked about it. And, you know, when I look back, every year in September, we have a little celebration. And sometimes we'll go back and listen to those old podcasts from, you know, not the whole thing, but just take clips. And this is going to sound like I'm flexing. I'm really not. They really weren't that bad. Sometimes when you go back in time, and like when I go back and watch some of my old YouTube videos, they're awful. I don't know but the podcast, you didn't have the video component to it. So it was all audio, and we knew how to talk. And so there's not that much difference between what we were doing then and what we're doing now, 18 years later. We're just telling the truth and trying to help people.
So back in 2006, I mean, podcast wasn't all the hype like it is today. How did your friend know about it, and how did he even know how to set up? So what was it? Was it an RSS feed? How do you get it distributed back in 2006 when the Buzzsprout and the Captivate and the you name it of this world didn't exist?
Well, it was, if I remember correctly, there was an RSS feed somewhere that we had to capture and then put on a website, and so people could go and subscribe to the feed. But it seems like iTunes came along pretty quickly then. It seems like iTunes was the driver, Apple was the driver of a broad distribution of podcasts. So I seem to remember that we always just use Libsyn, which is a host that we have used. I don't think we use it anymore. And then it automatically talked to iTunes. So it was more complicated before Apple because you had to understand what RSS feeds, and nobody really ever understood that, including the people who claimed to. It was very confusing, I thought. But it was still at a time where people didn't know what podcasts were, didn't really know how to, I mean, weren't familiar with the Apple library, so weren't really sure how to subscribe. And so it was teaching people a lot about the process of subscribing in addition to the podcast itself.
So you have two podcasts now, Bill, the Advanced Selling Podcast and the Bill Keski Podcast. Pardon if I butcher the name of it. So why is that? Did you like the format that much that you were like, okay, I'm just going to do another one?
Well, to be honest with you, the Advanced Selling Podcast is the big one. That's the one that's on iTunes. We're top 50 to 60 in marketing, in the marketing category. So we get probably 15,000-18,000 downloads a week. It's, you know, I don't know, 12-15 million over those times. But I wanted to do something on my own because I enjoyed the medium. I have all the equipment. I have something to say, I think. We could probably end up doing I do a daily LinkedIn video feed live every day for 15-20 minutes. So there's no shortage of things to say. I think that's the thing that befuddles people sometimes or stops people up front. Well, what am I going to say? And I always feel like we have so much to say. This, I'm not getting into instruction here, but just as an inspiration, we have so much to say that I think it's all so packed into our brain we can't let it out. And I think when you start letting it out, then it loosens things and you start to say, well, geez, that was a good one. I could also do this and I could also do that. So I don't think for us there was ever that problem. And so I think we could go every day. The Bill Keski podcast was simply something I wanted to do for myself. I wanted to interview people, which I do. I wanted to do series. I wanted to have total control of the editorial, if you will, and not have to okay it with another host, whom I love. We've co-hosted. We still have a good time, but it's not really my podcast, and I wanted to have one of my own.
That's cool. And so we've watched one of the latest episodes where you do basically live coaching sessions with clients. That's pretty cool. How do you come up with the podcast format? With your co-host on the Advanced Selling Podcast, you do a certain format, right? Why choosing a different one for the Bill Keski? So what are your thoughts on this? What's your thought process?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm just trying to be a little more creative and think, what do people really want to hear? Do they want to hear Bill Keski babble every week for 15-20 minutes? Maybe, but I get tired of hearing myself. So I think it's useful to say, what is another way to get the message across? And since we do coaching, I thought, well, why not just turn the camera on or turn the microphone on and do a coaching session? And we're going to be doing more of those because we've had some good response. We've only done two or three, and I think only one or two have been released. But that's now we have to get permission from the person. And people are very willing to do it. They want to be on. They want to get their, you know, their appetite whetted for podcasting. And so that's just something we've tried. Interview shows. I've done a lot of interviews, but there seems to be something that the interview show is just, it's overused. It's overwrought. Here you are interviewing me, and I appreciate that. But if every show is an interview show, then I don't get a chance to share my expertise.
So that's an interesting one, indeed.
You know, so we scatter interviews. I still like them. I still enjoy having people on. But I don't want to make it just an interview show. So we're trying to think of different creative ways to deliver good value to an audience that has heard me for years.
I love that. So how do you come up with this new, because that's quite original. I mean, I like it. Hey, let's do a live coaching session with a client. Hey, would you mind if we record that and I turn it into a podcast? So how do you approach this with the guest / clients? I'm going to coach you, but know that's potentially thousands of people are going to listen to it.
Well, all I can do is tell the truth, and I think we have a good enough relationship with our list, our customers, our paying clients to, and I don't just do it with everybody because I have to feel like the person really has a command of the language and can and is open to coaching. The three that we've done have been awesome, but I picked them because I could tell they were following us. They were doing a lot of LinkedIn posts. They were very active in the community that we were in. So it's just a matter of asking, and I'm sure I'll ask some people who don't want to do it, but it's good for them because they're getting extra help. And just the fact that microphones are on, who cares?
Yeah, love that.
I think that used to be a bigger deal than it is now. It's like, you know, everybody either used to be to walk into the downtown area and 15 years ago and say, who knows who listens to podcasts? And, you know, two hands would go up. Now you go into that same area and you say, who has a podcast? And all hands go up. So everybody's familiar with the genre and the podcast and the interview. And I think people are more open to it now.
So that's something you told me in our catch up before this recording. I was hoping for you to put it out again. I've used it myself, Bill. I love it. It's literally it. Like, the format has become, I don't know if overused is a term, because when you look at the metrics, like, people, more and more people listen to podcasts every year. The adoption rate is still going up. So it's like, you need also to feed good content to those people. But I guess now the challenge is how to feed good content and how to stand out from the crowd, and that's the crux.
And how to keep it alive and how to keep it growing and keep our interest too, because the podcast host has to be interested. And sometimes my interest wanes if it's okay, it's Wednesday, I got to release an episode, instead of okay, I've got these five people to coach. How can we turn this into an episode or series?
So you put the finger on something super interesting here, which is something we've heard quite some clients and quite some podcasters talk about. So how do you keep that hype for yourself, Bill, especially after 18 years of podcasting? How do you make sure you're still enthusiastic about it?
Because I've heard that the average podcast is 7 episodes or something. I don't know. Or people give up. The only thing I can think of is I really enjoy it. And I'll do things that I enjoy. And I will find a way not to do things, even if they're profitable, if I don't enjoy them. And podcasting hasn't been extremely profitable, but it's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy coming up with ideas and content. I enjoy hearing from people. I just had a call from a guy yesterday, and he's got a team of 10 salespeople. And we worked with him years ago when he was with another company. But he's been a podcast listener that whole time, and all his people listen to the podcast. And now their time, they want to have me into, or they want to have somebody in to do some work with them, to train, to coach. And who's he going to call? He's not going to call somebody he doesn't know. He's going to call somebody who's in his ear every week and who he feels like knows, gets him and understands the dilemmas of the high achiever, which we do a lot of. And so I love that call, because I feel like, well, yeah, that's why we do the podcast. So people can listen, they can get value. And when they get to a point where they say, okay, now I need Bill in here, it's an easy call to make.
That's for the branding and kind of the touch points you have, right, with potential clients or even clients. What do you enjoy about it?
If the truth, I mean, I enjoy hearing me talk.
So we're still off the record, but Bill, I mean, for me, that's a legit answer. Huh? I mean, I would answer to this, like, I find it a very good exercise. Like, it helps me on, well, improving my English, improving my eloquence. I'm not even sure that's an English word, but like the way I speak, I'm like, oh, okay, here I do this, here I do that. Oh, here I like how I phrase it, or here. Anyway, so I would answer that. So for me, that's not arrogant, but feel free to answer however you want.
Yeah. No, I enjoy, and sometimes I'll go back and listen just to hear audio. I don't go back and listen to all my podcasts, just so you know. I don't like my voice that much, but I will go back and listen and say, how did that episode sound? And sometimes I'll say something funny in the episode that I will laugh again at. But I also agree with you. I think it helps us to become better communicators. It helps us to take complex topics and simplify them, because you have to, because if you get too deep into something, you lose your audience. And so I think it helps us learn step-by-step communication. Like, first, I want to talk about the problem that people have in this episode. Then I want to talk about a story that I had where I had the same problem. Then I want to talk about something that I learned. Then I want to talk about how I did it. And here's a tip that you might use. So I think the format of how people learn is important to get, because that is why we're doing this. We're doing it not just to entertain, but to educate. And if we don't have any kind of a rubric or any kind of a systematic flow to what are we going to get across today and how are we going to do it, versus me just coming on saying, here, do this. Here, you got to go do these five things. People are like, what is it? Why? So I want to have that. What's the problem? What's the story behind the problem? How have I experienced this problem? And then get into some solutions. So I think that I'm fascinated with communication styles and messaging. And, you know, you've listened to podcasts that are educational, supposedly educational podcasts, and they're unlistenable. you just can't listen to them because the host is all over the place and they're using words and you're trying to figure out what the word was and then you miss the next nine words and it's sometimes people. But then you listen to somebody who's really smart, but they understand how to communicate. And Tim Ferriss is that way. I like Tim Ferriss's podcast. He's a really good communicator. Sometimes he gets a little, you know, he's out there, but I think that's just the way his mind works. Andrew Huberman is a pretty good communicator. Rich Roll, I think, is good. So some of these guys that have big podcasts, it's because they're masterful communicators.
I love that. And it's so important in podcasting indeed to nail properly no matter the topic, like even if you talk about, making rockets to go into space, like being able to, there's one guy that I like a lot who's called Alex Hormozi, who says use a fifth grade level of grammar, not because people are dumb, but just because it makes it so easy to understand that people can follow you. Because reading, you can go back and say, oh, wait, hold on, going over this sentence again and so on. When you listen to somebody, it has to be flowing, it has to be understandable. And like having this very simple language will help you break down complex topics into very simple concept to understand. And there you really bring value to the audience and you really bring value to yourself as well and to your podcast. And that's how you compound on it. And I wanted to say, Bill, that's also a super important component in sales, because I want us to talk about sales a bit. Being able to communicate clearly, make proper sentences, use the right tone. I'm learning myself how to have the right tonality right now in my sales cycles. But like podcast is just perfect for that. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think when you have a guest on, just like you're doing here, you've thought through some of the questions, but then some of the questions are stream of consciousness. They're not planned out because I say something that might cue up you. I think that whole ball game of back and forth is sales. And if we think of sales, and this is one thing I teach all of my clients, if we think of sales as a talking exercise where we're talking and we're telling and we're showing, that's not sales. Sales is inquiring and asking and understanding the other person so that then when you do talk, you can say something that's meaningful and important. And most sales professionals are sales amateurs, and they don't understand how to communicate complex subjects. They don't understand when just to shut up and listen. How many times have you been called on by a salesperson, and you might want to really buy, but they literally do not let you buy because they can't shut their mouth. They can't stop. It's just in there. It's ingrained. And sometimes you want so bad for a person to ask you a question. Oh, please. Just ask me one question, and I've got my wallet here in my hand. I'm ready to cut. But they can't, because we have been taught for so long that selling is about talking, and it just isn't. The greatest salespeople in the world, I'm talking about not the greatest salespeople technically, but income-wise, they don't say much. I mean, they might talk on a podcast. They may speak publicly. It may be on panel discussions. But when they get one-to-one with somebody, you want to create the atmosphere where the customer is selling you. How can you let them sell you if you're talking all the time?
So listening, what are your top two advice as a professional sales, coach, workshop, speaker? You've been doing it for 30 years now, so you definitely know your craft. How do you advise me to approach this?
Well, if a client came to me and said that, and I was in one of those coaching moods where I'm brutal, I would say it's too late. You jack things up early. You didn't do the right things, because it should never get to that. This is good, because this is why I go all the way back to, if we're making cold calls on people who don't want to talk to us, they don't want to buy what we have, they're not even interested in what we have, and we're taking the burden of making a call and saying the thing in a way that's going to cause them to stop being uninterested and stop not wanting it and wanting it, that's a bridge. That's a pretty long bridge. And you have to be really good at sales to do that, to take someone who's not waiting on your call and turn them into a prospect and then turn them into a customer. It's an art form. Not too many people can do that. That's why people don't like cold calls, because they know they're awful at that. It's tough. So that sounds to me like that whole scenario you just painted. It sounds to me like I've gone in, I've called somebody, and I'm pitching, and then at the end they say, not really interested. As a sales coach, I'm not interested in my clients having that conversation. I only want to talk to people who have a problem, who want to fix a problem, whose problem is costing them money, and we're laying out the process, and they're selling me on why. So my clients never get, the prospect never says that to my clients, because we do all the things up front that never conclude with that objection. Now, they may say, well, look, we're going to do it. Let's start in May, not in April. They may say something like that, which I'm fine with, but they would, my clients never get that, because all the stuff up front doesn't lead that way. And so I'm not saying your scenario doesn't happen. It happens all the time. Like, you know, your price is too high, or, you know, not right now. Now's not the right time. And I always feel like, well, why didn't we find that out up front? If you've got a $2 million problem, it's costing you $2 million a year. Now's not the right time. When is the right time to solve a $2 million problem? Or do you believe I can't solve it? Because that's the other side of the coin, is they may be saying now's not the right time. Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with, you haven't proven to me that you're the guy to fix it.
Wow. Okay, let's definitely do another session on sales coaching, Bill. So tell me a bit more about your business then. What do you do exactly? How do you train and help people when it comes to sales?
I have two parts of the business. One is the corporate part, where I go into a company and I spend 6 months to a year with their entire sales team. And we have periodic trainings, usually two or three times a month. And there's coaching, there's individual coaching along with that. And so we help a client become more proficient at prospecting, developing leads, lead generation. We help them get their mind right about what sales even is, which we just talked about here in the previous question, which that's a mind right thing versus a tactic, a technical thing. Because if we think that sales is about convincing people, we will always get that objection at the end. But if we change our mindset about what sales is to the right way, as far as I'm concerned. So we do all those things, that's corporate. Then we also have an individual program. I run actually every month, once a week, or once a month, I run a challenge. It's called the $1 Million Seller Challenge. And it's a 5-day, 1 hour per day training, coaching session, where I invite, you know, people. We have, we're in one challenge week right now. We've got 50, 60 people on it. And that way they can come and they can sample the content for a very low fee. And then at the end, if they want to proceed with any other coaching, they can. If they don't, that's fine. It's chock full of content. You can find out more at $1 million seller challenge.com, if I may plug that. And so that's how in most of my clients now, when somebody just called the other day and he said, I want coaching for my team. And he had never bought coaching before, so he doesn't know how much it is. I said, look, send all your people through the challenge, which he did. He's in it. And he's all his people now are in, and now they're all having the conversation, and they're talking, and they're learning, and they're trying things. I just started yesterday, so I'm assuming they're talking. But now when we have a conversation about ongoing work, he's going to know what I do, how I do it. He may decide that I'm not the right guy, but it didn't cost him that much to decide that. So I think this idea of a mini course or a challenge is it's the way people are going to buy from this point forward. They're not going to buy from a 1 hour webinar where everybody knows what the purpose of it is. It's to pitch something in the last 15 minutes. And people learn when they hear something, they go back and use it, or they think about it, and they come the next day and they learn something else, and they go back. Over the course of a week, you can grow people a lot. So that's the model we've gone to for our prospecting, is just a $1 million seller challenge. It's a 5-day challenge.
I love that, Bill. Can you, not that I want to draw inspiration for it for my own business, but maybe, how do you set that up? Is it a paid thing, the challenge? Is it a paid service?
Yeah. The challenge is $47.
Okay, so it's a very small entry.
Very small. It's the time that you're going to invest, because 5 hours of time over the course of a week is worth a whole lot more than $47 to you. So you have to decide. And then there's also a VIP upgrade. If you want extra coaching, I do an extra hour of coaching each day after the general session, and that's an extra fee. Not much, but it's an extra fee. 40% of the people take advantage of that. So when you calculate, if you're thinking about doing it, people like the one-on-one. They like the small group. They like the coaching aspect. And so we had 40% of those people take advantage of that, maybe more. But we just set it up, and I promote it on social media. We've got a pretty good email list, and so we sent out a handful of emails. And my goal is to, and if you want to talk about how to do it, I'm glad to share that with you. But my goal is to have 100 people a month on these things, and then convert. On the back end, there's an offer. There's a coaching offer that's actually a one-year coaching offer that we have for a very nominal amount. But I suspect we'll have 20% of the people take advantage of that. So that's really the whole scope of, you know, it's not just the money you earn from the challenge. It's the back end. That's where really that's where the growth is on the back end. So.
Oh, man, I love it. And I love the phrasing, take advantage of this. That's really good. So you have this challenge. So you invite people to join in. They pay the $47 for it. And then they have every day a one-hour training session. Is it live or is it just like kind of off the shelf? Okay. It's live. So it's you giving a course about a certain topic five times throughout the week, 1 hour each time. And people learn something. They get a challenge at the end of the of each session. And like, hey, for tomorrow, try to do this or something like that.
That's right. There's a handout each session. There's a handout that has two or three pages, and there's one of the pages of the handout is a worksheet. I think you have to give people, and this is good for podcasters too. And we used to do it more than we do it now, but it's nice to have a worksheet to follow along. Some people just, I know for most, 80% of people, they don't, but 20% do. And those 20% might be the 20% who spend money with you because you have engaged them at a different level. And I like the idea of a worksheet versus a 5-page thing to read because I just feel like people don't do that anymore, you know. So sometimes on the podcast, I will say, hey, if you want to follow along, there's a download, go to the show notes, download it, and follow along with me. That turns it from a podcast into some kind of instructional thing with not a lot of effort on your part. Because basically what you're doing is you're asking them the 4 or 5 questions that you're going to ask, and you're going to leave them some time to answer it and space on a page to answer it. But we do that in the challenge too. So every day you get a handout, and on that handout, there's one page that has you fill in some things like what are your goals for the next 12 months? What do you anticipate being a roadblock to those goals? I mean, I'm always trying to draw things out of them because if it's just a lecture series, nobody really learns much, but if you engage their mental capacity and their framework, and, you know, I've got this, here's the one from yesterday. It's just a simple page. I got scratches on a simple page, and it's one of 4 or 5 pages, and I just ask them to fill it out. Then I give them time during the challenge to fill it out.
Wow. Okay. Definitely want to learn more about that. And how does that fit into, or how does your podcast fit into that strategy, Bill? If anywhere, right? How do you make the kind of the podcast, one of the two actually, or both, fit into the, hey, my coaching and consulting sales business? Like, how do the two interact?
It's a moving target for me because the obvious thing is somebody listens to a podcast because they searched on a title and we happen to pop up, or I happen to pop up, and they listen, and then I, on the podcast, I will promote this $1 million seller challenge. And then that's the traditional ad, you know, promotional way to do it. So I still give value, but over the first 30 seconds, I say, hey, by the way, before we start today, I want to let you know about something we're doing, $1 million seller challenge, 5 days, starts April 8th. So I can do that. But I also think there's a positioning element of it too, so that when these people come into the challenge or come in anywhere in the process, I can say to them, here are a couple of podcasts that I've done recently that I thought you might want to listen to, maybe as a follow-up to a phone call that we do. And that way, because they may not know that I do a podcast. No, not everybody knows. Not everybody listens to podcasts. But if I can say, here's a podcast, and then they listen. I've had this happen many times. They listen, and then they get more engaged because they think, well, we're talking to somebody here who knows what the hell they're talking about, and he sounds like he likes his voice. It's a positioning vehicle as well for people who are in the sales process. And I'm sure you use that because that's who you're talking to as podcasters probably. So, but for the non-podcast consultant and coach, I still think the podcast is a good device to use in the sales process to say, hey, we had a podcast recently. We did an episode on this. Thought you might like to hear it. Now that changes the game, because not every salesperson is going to say that. If he's talking to five, if your prospect is talking to five salespeople, not only one's going to have a podcast, if that. So I think it changes the game a little bit. It just causes you to be separated from the group just a little bit in a raised way. So I think production of these things can be positioned properly in the sales process as well. Does that make, I know I went through a lot of stuff there to get to that point.
Bill, I love it. And that connects a lot. And that's how we often present the podcast, right? For instance, for companies who are looking to start a podcast for different reasons, but don't know how to really fit that podcast in the strategy. You have several places you can put a podcast. It can be a very top of the funnel asset where you're going to like generate tons of content out of it that you're going to repurpose and publish on all the platforms. And the idea is, hey, guys, I have a podcast. Come and discover me through it. Other people, like the way you're explaining it, Bill, here is it's more of a mid-funnel asset, meaning people know you or you had a touch point or they heard about you, whatever. So your name has already popped up. But then when they do their research, they find this podcast. They're like, wait a minute, this guy has like 18 years of podcasting advice. Like you've established your authority for 2 decades. And that's a super strong mid-funnel asset because like they give a go at an episode or two. And they're like, okay, that's my guy. Or at least I want to know more. So yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, and that's quite a smart strategy, and I really like the call to action. You're the first one actually who tell me about a form of workshop, like challenge, more challenge than workshop actually, as part of a call to action. That's really really interesting. Might run a test or two based on that. But yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
You know, you just and another thing about it is, it just gave me the idea. It's like, well, during this challenge, I need to be connecting these people in this challenge with those podcasts where I interviewed past clients and coached them. I didn't do that, or I'm not doing that. And I thought, when you said that, I thought, well, there's another example of a use. You know, it always gets back to, how do I utilize this thing? So I'm going to do a podcast. Okay, now what? I'm just going to do it every week and I'm not going. No, you've got to, and that's why people deploy and employ people like you, I presume, is let's think through the strategy of how do we get the most out of this podcast? We're not just throwing it out to the stratosphere and we're actually using it. It's part of our cycle. It's part of our genre, you know, it's part of our makeup here at our company. And when we're in an executive meeting or a sales meeting and the salesperson says, we just had a client who transformed their business because of us. Can we put them on the podcast? That kind of thing, I think, is not. Companies aren't there yet with that. They're not there. They see a podcast as a thing, another thing to do to market their business. I say, well, that's BS. Think of the podcast as a communication device to all of your clients. You've got clients who want to hear interviews with other clients. You've got clients who want to understand better ways to save money on taxes or whatever your thing is. So, I don't think we are getting the use out of the podcast that we should be. And I know that's why people hire you too.
Yeah, 100%. And so again, not to preach for my particular company here, but the idea is back to one of the things you said, right? You know, you throw a rock at somebody and it's very likely that they have a podcast. So the thing is, it's an oversaturated place in the sense of there is so much out there. So now it's like making it through the noise and the ancient model of podcasts where you aim for a big audience to kind of advertise your brand and you hope like you get listened to by dozens, hundreds of thousands of or millions of people. It's much harder to get there now because you have people who've been doing it for years, decades, but you can still have a huge opportunity into narrowing down what will the podcast enable for you. And what you just said is a super good one. Like, hey, we had a few touch points. You seem to be having the same kind of problems I helped that particular client solve. Hey, just give a go at the podcast. See how much just with the free stuff that we can give you can learn. And then they will be like, my God, this guy is just giving that away for free. Like how qualitative must be the paying stuff? And that's how you convert it. That's how you fit a podcast strategy into your business.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that is why people hire guys like you, because we can't think of all that stuff. Guys like me, we're too busy doing our business to think about podcasting as a marketing genre, as a communication system, as, you know, all the things. And you are good at that.
Thank you.
So that's why do what you do, because you can bring a much broader perspective as to how do we get the mileage. If a person understood how many different ways they could use podcasting in their business, they would do it in a heartbeat. But when you don't understand that and don't believe it's going to be useful, you'll say, just another task. Who's going to do it? We don't have a microphone. We can't. Oh, come on. Those are excuses. The real reason you're not doing it, you don't think it's going to be beneficial for you. That's the, we all act out of our own self-interest. And if you're not doing a podcast and you're blaming it on time or money, or I don't have the right microphone or whatever that, those stupid excuses are, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you don't believe it's going to be useful for your business. So hire somebody that can prove to you it'll be useful and do it for 6 months. You can always abort. You can always say, ah, I'm not going to do it anymore. But if you do it right during those 6 months, you'll never give it up.
You might be thinking, hey, I hate listening to my own voice, so I'm just stopping it. If you're in a different scenario. So 18 years, what have been the biggest challenges you faced as a podcaster or with your podcast? Like, give us the juice of, hey, I've been really struggling with that. And how, of course, did you walk around them?
I don't know that we've ever struggled. I think one of the things, when I look back and say, well, how could we have made this run better in 18 years? I don't think we made enough offers. I don't think we these could be free offers too. I'm not just talking about paid offers. I don't think we offered things for people to download. I don't think we captured email addresses very well. We should have started off every episode, we should have been, and we still don't do it very well. On mine, I do it. I'm always offering something. Here's a freebie. Here's a lead. Here's a PDF. Email me, direct me. I'm always doing that. But on the Advanced Selling Podcast, we didn't do that often. And partly because when there's two people and they're running their individual companies and they're coming together once every couple of weeks to record a few episodes, there's not a lot of strategy to it. It's just, hey, it's Monday at 9. Oh, we got to get on the phone. We got to do it. And we laugh and have a good time. And then we hit record. And then we record. And then boom, we're gone. And we don't see each other for 2 weeks. Well, that's not good. That's just that you've got to have some kind of strategy. And we never did for the Advanced Selling Podcast. And we still have a lot of listeners. But we never had that. It wasn't ever a struggle for us while we were doing it. But as I look back, I think, oh, this could be a $5 million enterprise, and it's not.
So what would be your advice for podcasters then, Bill? For podcasters and wannabe podcasters, as I like to call them. Like somebody right now listening to us, business owner, entrepreneur, or even a mid-management marketing guy or gal in a big enterprise, like, what would you advise and recommend them to do if they want to start a podcast or if they have one but are not making the most out of it, in your experience?
Well, there's two different groups there. One who wants to start one, who doesn't have one, and then the other.
So two advice, please.
Yeah, for the person who's thinking about it, I don't know. You know, if you've been thinking about it for 2 years, you're probably not going to do it. So stop thinking about it. I mean, I just try to be real and with people. I've got a lady, one of my clients, who... she's been talking about shooting video for the last 6 months, and she's not shot one video. And finally, the other day, I said, you've got to stop. You've got to stop coming to me during our coaching sessions and saying, Bill, I really need to get that video. No, you don't need to do it. Find another. Go back to cold calling. You seem to love cold calling. You love cold calling more than you love your face on a camera, so go do that. And I said, stop talking about it.
I mean, sorry, but one of your recent quotes, so obviously I prepare for those interviews, and one of your recent quotes is, some people say, oh no, I get excited about cold calls. No, you don't. No, you don't. Here's the choice. You got 5 inbound people who are trying to get a hold of you to buy something, and you've got, and now you tell me, oh yeah, you told your... I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't take the call, sir. I've got to make 5 people. I'm going to call 5 people who hate me, who don't want to talk to me. So if you've been thinking about doing a podcast for a while and you haven't done it, just forget it. Don't think about it. Let somebody else do it. Let your competition do it. They're probably going to be better at it anyway. I had a guy, he was a client, and he sold stuff to hospitals, like organization software to hospitals so they could track all their equipment and stuff. And he came to me one day during coach session. He goes, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I goes, okay, let's do it. He goes, okay. And within 24 hours, he had the artwork done. He had the podcast. He had the first episode done. He was up on Libsyn, and he did it for like 6 months, and it generated a fair amount of business for him. He would interview the people he wanted to talk to. Well, that's a guy who fast action. So if you're not into fast action and you're going to think about it for 6 months, you're just not going to do it. I'm sorry. You're just not going to start. get it out there, learn from it, be ashamed of the first few episodes. You can always take them down. You don't have to leave them up, and learn and get in the groove and make it a part of your day, of your weekly ritual. Think of yourself as a program manager at a big TV station, and think of the people out there who are waiting for your next episode because they love you so much. Whether they do or not, I don't care. You have to have that thought that I have a broadcast channel now, and it's my obligation to fill that channel with something of value for my listeners. Once you get there, now it's an easy decision. It's like, okay, we got to go on that. But getting people there is difficult.
I want to add something to this. So first of all, that's the right way to do it. You want to start something, 24 hours, get going. And then, because just to be clear, your first podcast episode will get 0 downloads. Actually, it might get a couple, your spouse, maybe your mom, and maybe your children need their support here. But that's it. You're not going to get anybody to listen to you. They have better things to do on TikTok and YouTube and whatever. But so nobody's going to listen to it anyways, unless you're a big enterprise and you have a big company behind it. But whatever. So just get started with it. And the point is, make a 1% incremental improvement for the next episode, and then the next, and then the next. And in 6 months' time, you had 26 episode lives, and now you're talking. Now you're like, okay, that's what I've learned. That's how many people I've talked to. Hey, I have a decent followers base of like 20, 30 people listening to each episode, whatever. But there you do something. And to add something to what you said, Bill, not only can you shut down the episodes, the podcast artworks, the titles, everything is, you can modify everything. Like 6 months down the line, we just recently changed from B2B podcast stories to podcast gurus, and we redid the whole title and the whole artwork, and it's seamless. And people might be like, if you start having a followers base, they'll be like, okay, what's happening? Just give a heads up. Like, hey, we are rebranding, and that's it. Like, it's zero risk.
And you don't lose your subscribers, you mean?
Correct, exactly. So it can only go the right way if you get to it. And I think that's the crux, like, get to it.
That's right. Yeah. We started the Bill Caskey podcast calling it the 2X podcast. And as I think about it, we probably should have not changed it, but I wanted to have a little leeway. I didn't want to always talk about sales. I wanted to talk about other things. So we rebranded it. But I remember we went through that. Oh, what are people going to think? And it's like, they're not going to think. They're not going to care. Yeah. If they like you, they're going to continue to like you. If they don't like you, they aren't listening anyway. And you're talking about 1,000 people out of a world of 7 billion. So it's not like the world's going to shake on its axis when you reformulate the Coca-Cola. So nobody's going to care. Nobody cares. Nobody really cares. You should do it for you. If you think the branding is wrong, then do it for you. So let me answer your other question about the person who has a podcast and who's, you know, we have to look at that stat and learn that a lot of people start these things and then they don't have the follow through. They just don't want it. And I think it's because they don't enjoy it. So if you don't think you're going to enjoy either looking into a camera like we're doing here or being on mic and learning an hour's worth of editing practice and getting and buying a good mic, and you know, I'm a stickler for audio. I think if we're relying on the audio feed to get a message out, we better have good equipment. And I will not listen to a podcast where the equipment's bad. Sometimes people, like I listen to the Megyn Kelly show sometimes, she got a great audio setup. But sometimes she has people on who are using their onboard mic on the laptop and you can barely understand them. And we've got a candidate here in our country named Robert Kennedy. And Robert Kennedy has a vocal thing. It's a condition that he's had for a long time. And he's very hard to listen to, and he's got a podcast. And I've gotten to the point, I like the guy, I think he's got some good ideas. I do, you know, just like anybody, yeah, disagree on some things, but I think he's a good man. I feel like he's a good man. But whatever he would do a podcast, he would do it from the onboard computer. He would not even have a microphone. And so I texted and I emailed his team and I said, you've got to get this guy a microphone. It's hard enough for us to understand him and hear him with his vocal thing, but when he's 6 feet away from the microphone, he's unlistenable. And I don't know whether it was my email, but eventually they did. They got him a good mic. And so now he's a little bit more listenable. But the point there is that you've got to have good equipment. You got to have it doesn't have to be expensive equipment. It just has to be good. Yeah. To the person who's struggling a little bit, I just go back and ask yourself, is this something I really want to do? don't put yourself through misery doing something just because Bill Caskey and whomever else on the planet says you need a podcast. No, you don't. You don't need a podcast. You should want one because it's valuable. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your customers. It's going to be good for your psyche, for your psychology, for your skills, for your communication skills. But you don't have to have one. So if you don't enjoy it, it's not going to last. So don't do it.
Bill, absolutely love that. We like to wrap up those episodes with a question we ask everybody. Top three podcasts, apart from the obvious Bill Caskey Show and the Advanced Selling Podcast, three podcasts that you'll...
Oh, boy. Top three podcasts that I listen to. I listen to a lot. I'm trying to think which ones when I'm scanning through, is it must listen? I listen to some political ones, but I won't tell you. I won't tell you those because I don't want to be canceled. You know who I like? I like Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla is for a while, he had one of the top rated podcasts. He's a comedian. He does a daily podcast about an hour a day. He's in LA. He has four or five podcasts. He does one with Dr. Drew, who's a psychotherapist. And Adam Carolla, he's very funny. I listen to him just because I get enjoyment. It's an entertaining podcast, even though he does talk politics sometimes. He talks culture and he's just funny. I used to like Tim Ferriss, but his podcasts are so long. I just find myself getting a little bored. But I like him. I think he's good. Who else do I like here? And I do a lot of like fitness and marketing. I like marketing. I like Amy Porterfield. Amy Porterfield is a marketing expert here in the U.S. I mean, she's worldwide, but I thought she was popular. But you say you don't know these people, so maybe they're. They're very niche people.
So Tim Ferriss, I do know. I mean, he's huge. He's huge, huge, huge.
Yeah, Amy Porterfield is a marketing person, online marketing. She's really good, sweet, great voice. Easy on the ears. I feel like that's part of what the podcaster needs to be, is easy on the ears, like easy on the eyes when you're watching you, you know, when people are watching you. Is it somebody I can listen to for 30 minutes and not, you know, like fingernails on a chalkboard? Those are three that I think are good. I know I'm missing some, but again, I listen to some culture, politics, and things like that, which is a whole different thing.
Adam Carolla, Tim Ferriss, Amy Porterfield. I'm going to give a go to both Adam and Amy because I didn't know them. So definitely keen to listen to that. Bill, I had lots of fun. It was an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just looking through my feed here to see if there's anybody else that I missed. But
oh, yeah, sure. So who are you following on? Tell me who you're following on Apple Podcasts. I'll tell you who you are. I guess it's a common saying as well in the podcast world.
There's one that I'm starting to listen to. It's called How I Write. And I think it's David Perrell. He's a copywriter and an author, and he has really interesting interviews with people about the writing process, the creative process, which I find interesting because, you know, as I get up into years and I have to decide what do my next 10 years look like, I'm convinced that creation, instead of chasing the dollars and chasing the gold and the trophy, I think starting to find a way to create things from what I know and from some of my experiences. And so those kinds of shows are interesting to me because the whole creative process is, I've never been taught it. I just kind of wing it. And sometimes when you hear somebody think about it, you think, oh, well, that's easy. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So I like those kinds of, where they get into the creativity and the thinking process behind it. I think those are fascinating too. Anyway, just saw that one.
Love it. That's another. And that's actually the only show that you gave me that has less than 600 episodes. it's a starting one. I think they have 37, something like that. So definitely interesting.
Wow, you did the stat thing pretty quickly there, man.
Yeah, man, you know, like, I don't know how you said it in English.
You got all the stats. Right? You ever memorized all those?
Exactly, yeah, 100%. Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for having me on. It's been a really real pleasure, and you do great work there, and the work you do is very helpful for people who want to really expand their podcast footprint, and so congratulations to you too.
Thank you. Appreciate it a lot.